Hello everyone and welcome to day 10 of the daily Associate Affiliate Cricket Podcast from the World 2020 Qualifier. It's amazing how quickly you get through a 14-team tournament when you play multiple games a day. It's been a busy day today with 6 matches scheduled, only 5 have taken place, and joining me to try and make sense of it is author of Second Eleven's Cricket in its Outpost, Tim Wigmore. Thanks for coming on the show, Tim.
Hi Andrew, how's it going?
It's good to have you back on. We'll start with a match that before the tournament we would have said this result would be a surprise, but this is Nepal v Jersey. Given the way Nepal have been playing, though, I don't think it was a surprise, was it?
Yeah, I don't think that game was a surprise at all. I suppose especially with Nepal, as they were the team to bat first. I think that's really been shown to be quite a big issue with the starts being so early, starting at 10 in the morning. Obviously, if you're batting first in unfamiliar conditions as they are from Nepal, it can be very tricky. And again, their innings never really got going, and their batting has really been terrible all tournament. And they're finished last of their group, which is just pretty embarrassing after having a pretty good time in Bangladesh last year, obviously.
We saw Siddhant Lahane come in and smash it around a bit at the end. He's got 27 from 16 balls. It's a bit of a puzzle why he's not played in the tournament up until now.
Yeah, I guess certainly with that performance, they could have done with a few more of those. I mean, obviously they had their pre-tour to Netherlands and didn't do too well there. Lost 3-1, and obviously didn't seem to really absorb the lessons from that either. And I guess one of the things this sort of tournament has shown is that the difference between obviously playing in the subcontinent and playing in England or Ireland in this case, is massive. And maybe with that in mind, it might be a worry that the sort of 6 teams who qualify from Ireland and Scotland won't necessarily be the 6 that would have qualified had this tournament been in India, reflecting the conditions that the World T20 will be in next year, obviously.
Jersey's reply, Ed Farley was dismissed quite early on, but Peter Goff and John DeGenner had a very good partnership, and there was a bit of a wobble in the 11th over when both of those two got out, but then Bodenstein and Stevens took Jersey home. A very professional chase, really, from Jersey.
Yeah, it was pinnacle. I mean, they know these conditions extremely well, and they know how to play together and how to get the most out of each other, basically, in contrast to Nepal. I mean, probably hard to criticise Nepal's bowling too much, because they lost it with the bat. But if you look at the sort of bowling figures, it's curious that their best bowlers didn't really actually bowl their full allocation of overs, as if they were being saved for the death. But when you're only defending 105, you're better off bowling out your best bowls up at the front. Shakti Gushan only bowled 3 of his overs. Sompal Kami only bowled 3, and that was one of those was at the very end. So you sort of think, his first 2 went for 5. Maybe if he'd bowled 3 or 4 up top, got a couple of wickets, suddenly the complexion of the chase changes. So I thought some slightly curious bits of captaincy there.
Yeah, Paris Katkar has been guilty of that in the past, and we certainly saw that during World League Division 2 earlier in the year, where he seems to have decided on his plan before the match and will stick to it no matter what, and he doesn't adapt to the situation. I think that's another example of that. Kami should have bowled a third over at the start, or maybe come back around the sort of, once Goff and Jenner had got out, and when he came back on, it was just too late.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely pointless. And so I guess the one thing, T20, obviously, you've got to be, it's good to have plans and good to have broad outlines, but you've got to be very, very flexible. And especially in these conditions, which, T20 is, in general, lots of the games have been far lower scoring than, typically T20 around the world. So therefore, the incentive to bowl, you should be looking to bowl your best bowls earlier when you're defending such a small target. But I mean, that's been a part of probably of Nepal's failing. But I mean, really, if you look at their batting performances overall, they've been pretty horrible. And urgently, that they need to sort out how to play the ball that moves. Obviously, it doesn't move nearly as much in subcontinent, but it still does move a bit. And they just seem pretty incapable of playing it at all. So that's a huge worry for them. As they go forward.
In the afternoon, over at Clontarf, in a non-televised match, Hong Kong played against the USA. Hong Kong went into this game sort of favourites after beating Ireland the day before. It was a pretty poor batting performance from Hong Kong, though. Jamie Axton batted well, but nobody else really did anything.
Yeah, it was a curious sort of thing. I mean, actually, look at Hong Kong's, their 4 results so far. Every time the team batting second has won fairly convincingly. well, with the exception of yesterday. I mean, 125 for 9 is not really, it's not really a great effort. Perhaps, you know, an element of anticlimax after such a fantastic result at Malahide against Sale, and also, I guess, you know, the ground at Malahide being, you know, on TV and everything, sort of a bigger sceptical, whereas, you know, Contos is a very nice ground, but very much a club ground. So that might have been sort of fair to be. Yeah, the innings never really got going. Jamie Atkinson did play extremely well. I mean, maybe he might be looked at moving a little bit higher in the order into, you know, the last stages of the tournament. America and their chase were pretty clinical, actually, which has not often been true of them, but, you know, from 62 for 3 in the 11th over, Amsterdam and Stanford really just very assured in a partnership. A couple of drop catches went down, which helped. But yeah, I think this game was very much won by States in their bowling. I think sort of 145 would have been about par. And then obviously that puts scoreboard pressure and you could have a different feel to the run chase.
And sort of coming back from losing both openers relatively early on, it's something we sort of don't often see from the US. They tend to collapse when they lose their openers.
Both Alex Amsterdam and Nicholas Stanford, they played really exceptionally and actually looked very calm at the crease, and there was no real hit and panic at all. Obviously, you know, with the Hong Kong, their bowling has been a bit disrupted by what's happened. With Nizkat Khan, in terms of, you know, they found out just before this match that he was unable to bowl because of the ICC's clampdown on throwing, and it was quite sort of mysterious how there was no warning of that. So that hasn't helped either. But yeah, no, from America, an excellent chase, and I guess it's been, from their point of view, whatever happens, a modestly encouraging display in the qualifying tournament.
Moving now to the other game of the afternoon between Namibia and Papua New Guinea. This was an interesting match. If Papua New Guinea won, they'd guarantee their place in the World 2020 preliminary round. Namibia batted first, and Stephen Bard came out of the blocks on firing on all cylinders. He scored 87 from 54 balls and sort of took the game away from Papua New Guinea a bit. Namibia scored 181. I think a very, very good performance from Namibia. They're certainly capable of hitting big, and I was watching the game and it seemed that Namibia did what a lot of teams haven't done in this tournament, and they managed to actually play the shots according to the field that had been set.
Yeah, I mean, so I was in Klontarf, but I was watching some of this game on TV as well. I mean, Namibia, they just look a very well-drilled side, obviously. They played a lot together because they're playing in South Africa, and so they sort of really seem to know their roles extremely well. And they do have a powerful, their lineup, you know, is against this level of bowling is pretty powerful. And yeah, they look a very dangerous team, to be honest. Obviously, Papua New Guinea have been in terrific form so far, but this was, you know, one occasion where it kind of deserted them a bit. I mean, Legacy Aka was playing fantastic at 18 off 7 balls. You know, maybe did he need to play that shot, you know, in the second over, but I guess you're chasing 180. Yeah, the odds are always that Namibia would be able to defend that, and they did it pretty easily in the end.
After the first sort of 6 overs went for 60-odd, and it was Bernard Schultz and Sarel Berger came in and sort of really sort of tightened the noose. Bernard Schultz bowled, I think, very well, taking 4 for 11. It's not often you see spinners figures like that from a spinner in a 2020 match.
No, absolutely not. It's a terrific effort. And, I mean, Namibia, obviously, if they win their final game tomorrow, Hong Kong will almost certainly finish top of the group, which is really would be a hell of an achievement. They very much sort of snuck under the radar. Not the most fashionable of sides. In the T20 qualifiers, they've got a very good record, actually. They're always very competitive. And obviously, you know, had there been 6 teams in 2012 who had progressed, they would have, I think they'd have in fact been third behind Ireland and Afghanistan then. So they have a good pedigree in this tournament. And yeah, they're proving as much again.
Moving into Group B, which has been played in Scotland, we had 3 games today, and going into it, we didn't actually know any of the teams that were going to be in the playoffs. Any one of the 5 teams still in contention could have missed out. It was a game scheduled to take part at Stirling, but the grounds had a ton of rain on it recently, and this game was abandoned just as the game yesterday was. And that put Afghanistan secure in the playoffs, which meant that they wouldn't be able to finish top of the group. In the other game in the morning, Scotland played a man. Carl Kurtz batted very well again, with 63 of 38. and Scotland's 173. We've seen Oman bat pretty well in this one, but they lost Zeeshan Maqsood quite early on in this, and apart from Amir Khalil's 59, nobody else in the team really sort of did anything with a bat, and they lost by 23 runs, which put Scotland into the playoffs and at top of the group at that stage. We then, in the afternoon, we had Netherlands and Kenya knowing sort of exactly what they needed to do. Kenya had a very awkward situation. If they won the game, they would top the group and go straight to the World 2020. And if they lost, they'd be out. Pretty awkward situation for Kenya there. And perhaps the pressure got to them. They were bowled out only for 97. Then we had something quite interesting happen. We've seen the Netherlands do similar before in the past. They needed to score 98 in 7.3 overs, we think. Or 7.4 overs, maybe. And they got to the situation where they needed, I think, 4 off a ball in the 8th over. And then proceeded to lose 3 wickets before they finally got the wickets and finally got the required runs. And they were second. I know you haven't seen this, but just one question I want to ask you. We've had sort of comments about this on the Cricket Europe forum. Do you think perhaps these three games should have been played simultaneously, or was it a bit unfair that Netherlands and Kenya knew exactly what they needed to do?
Yeah, well, that's certainly true, but actually what's one of the problems with moving from 2 groups of 8 as in previous qualifiers to 2 groups of 7, and obviously with 2 groups of 8 you play your last 4 games in the group all at the same time. It's a lot fairer, so that was one of the issues. But yeah, we're following this, it's kind of farcical. So what basically, I think the Netherlands, they needed to with every ball that they missed out on reaching the target, they then had to, they needed 2 off the ball when Mayne Cooper was dismissed, and then they needed a 4 off the next ball, and then there's 6 of the ball after. So you have a very odd situation where if you win a couple of balls later, if you win with a 6, your net run rate recovers over that. So I don't know if that should be looked at in future to kind of cut off the net run rate. So, you know, it's always better to win in fewer balls, which would kind of be a lot more, that would make a lot more sense. But yeah, again, they've shown their batting capability. I mean, if they do get through to in India, they'd certainly have a pretty decent chance of overturning Zimbabwe or Bangladesh, you'd think, because they're batting, add Tom Cooper to that, and it really is a pretty powerful lineup, actually.
So looking at the group B tier, we have Oman in 4th, Afghanistan in 3rd, possibly a bit of a surprise, Netherlands in 2nd, and then Scotland in 1st. Scotland have missed out on the last 3 World 2020s. Now they're guaranteed to be in, well, at least the preliminary round. They'll be sort of delighted to have finally got back to that World 2020.
Yeah, I think their success, I mean, their batting has really been outstanding, and they have... It's a really very powerful batting lineup. You know, with Matt Machin obviously is missed out this tournament at Sussex, so if he slots in probably at 3 or 4, then it has a very good look. And with Preston Monson at 6 has been in outstanding form as a kind of a finisher for them. And their bowling is still probably a bit more Rory, but Ali Evans has had an excellent tournament. And yeah, I mean, again, they've... There seems to be an upward curve in Scotland, and obviously they also beat Ireland 2-0 in a T20 tournament, albeit against not quite Ireland's full-strength side a couple of weeks before this, the qualifiers. So yeah, I think Scottish cricket, there's some optimistic signs there certainly. And again, I think they learned a lot from their time in New Zealand, although the results obviously weren't too great in the end. So yeah, they'll think they've got a reasonable chance of not just qualifying, but making an impact there, and obviously making the main final 10, as it were. They will have a decent outside chance.
Moving now just back to Group A and looking at the games tomorrow, we already know Papua New Guinea and Namibia are in the playoffs, so they'll play the USA and Hong Kong. Ireland play Jersey in the morning. You'd think, given the net run rate situation, Ireland are safe whatever happens in that group. I mean, Jersey have beaten 2 of the teams that played in the World 2020. Can they do it again?
I'd be pretty flabbergasted if they managed another one. I think Ireland will have a lot to prove after 2 terrible, well, very disappointing results, although both games were fairly close. So yeah, I would be pretty amazed if Ireland did not win that fairly convincingly. But again, I suppose with the 10 a.m. starts, it's one of those things that, you know, if Jersey win the toss and insert Ireland's bowl, they nick off a couple, and Saudi Arabia barely scratch round to 130, 140, and then Jersey have a small chance. But yeah, be very surprised if Ireland didn't win that, won it pretty convincingly.
Hong Kong take on Namibia. Hong Kong win, they're in the playoffs. But the way sort of both teams have played today, you think you'd make Namibia favourites of that?
Yeah, I suppose Namibia probably are favourites for that. That said, the Hong Kong team, you know, they were excellent against Nepal. They were very good as well. And having bounced back from a very poor result against Jersey, they do have a decent chance of doing the same. And their recent results would be against Namibia have been fairly good as well. I mean, Namibia obviously in better form. And again, yeah, just their batting lineup seems to be, they seem to know how to get 160 actually, which is something that's not really true of many other sides, or probably any other side in that group. Even Ireland's batting has struggled really somewhat. So yeah, I mean, Namibia's batting is obviously the reason why they've been so successful so far in the tournament, and they've got a chance of qualifying automatically. And I guess, yeah, you'd have got very good odds on Scotland and Namibia being the two to qualify automatically. Actually, what one interesting thing about this tournament, talking to some players off the record and things like that, is that they say it'd be quite good for Associated Cricket if a team other than Ireland and Afghanistan actually won the tournament, because it would show, obviously, with both Ireland and Afghanistan having done pretty well in the World Cup, you know, if a different associate won this, it would be kind of proof of the extra depth that emerges that is beneath them. I think lots of people sometimes think that it's very unfair that Ireland and Afghanistan don't get more chances, blah, 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 but don't really think there's anything underneath that. And I think, you know, this tournament is sort of showing that the other teams are also closing the gap on Afghanistan. So it's been very, very competitive, and everyone's been beating everybody. And yeah, it's got some extraordinary results. And yeah, I mean, it's all very gripping. You know, in both groups, it's gone down to the wire, really, and you couldn't ask for too much more than that. Despite the sort of certain problems of lack of a reserve day, and I think the 10 a.m. starts aren't ideal as well.
So if those two games we've mentioned go the way we're expecting, if Ireland and Namibia both win, we then start looking at the USA Papua New Guinea game. If USA win that, they'd then go through to the playoffs. That would be a big boost for the USA. Do you see that happening?
I don't know. I'd be pretty surprised. I mean, Papua New Guinea have been basically excellent so far. America have still been very, very erratic. But I mean, it was a clinical performance from them today. It wasn't sort of based on one or two players having a freakish performance. You know, if you look at their bowling, like four bowlers went for six or less and over. And obviously, Amsterdam and Stanford both played very well, got unbeaten 40s. So yeah, it was a team performance today, and you know, lots of talk of them being less united. But obviously, if you win, suddenly everything, you know, team spirit doesn't seem, you know, so hard anymore. So yeah, I suppose they have a chance, but Papua New Guinea certainly are big favourites, and you know, whether America can back up their win today will be very tricky. I mean, one of the features of the tournament with having often teams playing in consecutive days after having such a high of a victory as Hong Kong experienced against Ireland a day earlier, it can actually be hard to back up those performances. But that all said, obviously, you know, States have nothing to lose at all. Yeah, I would be surprised, but strange things have happened, and probably in the last 10 days of this tournament alone, because there really have been some pretty extraordinary results.
That just about wraps up. Thanks for coming on the show, Tim, and hope we have some more good cricket tomorrow.
Yeah, cheers, Andrew. Thanks very much. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great to see you, mate.